Hello and welcome to this lecture on the history of UPDATE. UPDATE is an organization started by students of Uppsala University to promote interest in and expand knowledge in the computer field. But mostly it was about getting access to computers, at least in the very beginning. Today we are a group of students, alumni and others with an inclination towards older technology, but we also work with modern things. We live in the basement of the university computer department, where we enjoy quite a bit of space for our activities. I'm a daytime developer and nine-time vintage computer collector. This talk will be about UPDATE's origins and history. Let me start with giving you some context. Uppsala University got their first machines in early 1960 in a joint effort with the City Hospital, a corporation that later became the company UDAC. The first UDAC machine was this control data 3600. UDAC was considered a bit like the picture implies, somewhat stiff and formal. But UDAC was not all stiffness. Werner Schneider, seen here on the right, is a bit of a legend among the people that have met him, and here they have bought Lisp machines, and Richard Greenblatt himself delivered the first two machines to UDAC. Around 1980, the Department of Automatisk Databehandling, or Automated Data Processing, or ADB, was founded with a group called UPMAIL, Uppsala Programming Methodology and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, that among other things worked with Prolog and Lisp. In 1981, DVL, similar to a master's program, started and introduced students to Lisp on the computer called IDA, a DEC System 2060. The name IDA is a portmanteau of artificial intelligence, AI and datalogi. UPDATE was founded on the 21st of April 1983 as Datorföreningen Ramsis. The name must have been a hot topic as the bylaws included a paragraph allowing the name to be changed on the meeting in May 1983, regardless of other bylaws. This paragraph will be removed after the meeting in May 1983. UPDATE became Datorföreningen UPDATE on the 18th of May 1983. The first activity was to apply for a group account on the computer called IDA, seen here on the left. IDA was initially a 2060, but was upgraded to a 2060 around 1981. Accounts on IDA was given, but the university doesn't seem to have been very happy about it, and suggested giving access to PDP-11 or Alpha LSI machines instead, thus starting the search for UPDATE's own hardware. However, there was little friction between UPDATE and the university. Members sat in the terminal rooms overnight, playing games and hacking, eating breakfast at Uroxen, a nearby restaurant. Some members lived in apartments above the department and managed to get terminals in their own homes by persuading the telephone company to run lines. There was an overlap in members of UPDATE and administrators on the machines, and they had figured out that the shortest way to get from the Lisp machine to the tape archive was over the roof, which led to an incident with the police being called in the middle of the night, and some explaining was needed. Now, before we go on, the influence from the MIT AI lab through Stockholm to Uppsala is noticeable, if not only from the choice of PDP-10 machines instead of the IBM machines now used by UDAC. In fact, it took some persuading to even let ADB buy a computer, and in the end, UDAC owned ADA, but it was run by ADB. So, With the liberty of imagination, Uppsala was a small mini MIT, with the big bad IBM at UDAC and the good deck machine at UpMail, and the Tech Model Railroad Club hackers in Update. From the get-go, the ambition was high, and the club wanted to get a C compiler, build modems, create an Emacs clone for Unix, and build a Coca-Cola vending machine with Automagic features. Late in 1983, the Emacs project was halted, as it was discovered that it already exists, and the club, quote, awaits response from RMS regarded extended addressing, end quote. The projects get abbreviated names. Here are a few. Group E, create the ultimate editor. Group T, create the ultimate terminal. Group C, ensure there is a C compiler. Group CC, automagicalize a vending machine. Well, you get the picture. The rumors about Update must have spread as members' applications from outside Uppsala start to arrive. Here we can see an application from someone in Stockholm in 1983 that's interested in the activities regarding C. In 1984, another DEC system is installed called Carmen. And we can see from meeting minutes that the tradition of missing meeting deadlines and postponing administrative duties is introduced. The mandatory annual report and budget proposal is postponed on every meeting during the year and also on the first meeting of 1985, where we have a gap in the minutes until 1993. The library is founded with a copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. 35 members grows to 50. The vending machine arrives, gets the name Miss Feature, and the ambition is to connect it to IDA. The modem group reports that modem construction has begun, discussions on who is allowed to join Update begins, which will turn out to be a long story. A complex algorithm is suggested, but in practice it is students and employees of Uppsala University that can join. This will be a long-standing discussion in Update. Someone notes that Update members are those that like formalia. When we went through the archives, we have found a few of the first mails to Update from people who want to join. This is a personal favorite. It's about a young man, from a young man that states, "I'm a 14-year-old hacker. I'm only 14, but don't judge by age. I'm no gamer." He proceeds to explain that he wants to use COM, the Swedish bulletin board system, rather than UUCP, because he is scared to make professors of all countries angry. This year, Chaos Computer Club was given accounts on ADA by Update. Here is an envelope from 1985 from England. It's likely that people wanted to join Update in order to gain access to ARPANET, to which IDA was connected. The letter itself states, "I sent a message via NN to you on Sunday, and I am now sending the 50 Swedish kroners." And inside the envelope, we found this. 5 perfect uncirculated bills. This type of bill went out of print in 1991 and has not been usable since 1998. I don't know if this person got his membership. I hope he did. Otherwise, I hope to find him and offer him a membership today. In 1985, the club got its own first computer, a PDP-8i, which was named Crap 1. It was bought for 1 Swedish krona from another club called Pascal, which was active in Stockholm. I personally got to see CRAP 1 running in 1991 when I visited Uppsala University as a high school student trying to figure out what university to choose. Our member Ronnie showed how to play music with an AM radio, listening to the frequencies output from the CPU. I thought it was incredibly cool and it did help me to decide. CRAP 1 is still with us. Unfortunately not its friend, the PDP-8L, named CRAP XMP, donated by a school in north of Sweden. This year it's decided that Miss Feature, the vending machine, will not be automagic with the help of a PDP-10 or PDP-11, but rather an 8748 microcontroller, and it will get blinking lights. Rumor has it that update will get its own PDP 1145. In 1985, the first number of the member magazine is made. It is called Uptime Number 0, and it's of course typeset with tech. The magazine states that members should be careful and not make themselves noticed on IDA, as the university does not like students mucking about. However, the Department of Computer Science thinks it's okay and lets it happen. Athena, another DEC System 20, is mentioned in the magazine as a computer available to members. A letter to the editor asks, why isn't Miss Feature automagic yet? Further on, the magazine laments that Stucken has a KA10, but what do we have? The aforementioned PDP 1145 has not materialized, and an IBM 370 is offered to update by Peter, the man with the big home computer, Lötberg, but it is quickly taken by a club at the university in Lund. The mentioned KA10, as you can see on a picture here, is likely the one that ended up at the Living Computer Museum in Seattle. Update has 65 members by the end of the year. Sadly, the amount of written information about Update between 1985 and 1993 is sparse. But sometime during 1986, Update loses the access to IDA completely. The reason being that a certain West German club had been given access through Update. This was found out by a radio reporter called Christoph Andersson, which is pictured here, who had an interest in computer clubs and had interviewed both Update and members of Chaos Computer Club. He stated that Update had helped Chaos Computer Club commit computer crimes. This prompted a phone call to IDA's administrator, who had no choice but to remove Update's access. Now, I don't think that Chaos Computer Club did anything in particular with IDA, but its rumor was likely enough to get Update kicked out. The Department of Computer Science comes to the rescue and pleads with the headmaster of Uppsala University to reconsider, which we can see from this letter. Highlighted is the text, West German Computer Club. Update officially never got access back, but most students had accounts anyway. In 1987, the department moved house to old military buildings at Polaxbacken. We can see in the text that Ida and Carmen is mentioned. Ida works, but Carmen does not yet function. The headline reads, Computer Students, New S1 Recruits. And the lecturer, Tom Smedsås, remembers doing military service here. Incidentally, so did my father. CRAP 1 is connected to a terminal server and Update gets its domain update.uu.se when the university is connected to the internet. And so CREP1 is accessible through CREP1.update.uu.se. Maybe this is the first online PDP8, at least in Sweden. We have in our archives the service records for Ida and Carmen. Mostly they are about swapping out broken fans, and often they are signed Roland Grönros. He will be known to Swedish viewers as Villervalle, or rather the actor who portrayed Villervalle in a popular TV show. In 1989, Update was not very active, but starts coming back from its slumber, and the first Wednesday meeting is held at China River, starting a tradition of going to CR and order a 03. 03 being the number of a popular dish. One of Ida's hard drives malfunction, and Update members manages to repair it. The computer department invests in workstations, and Ida and her sister Carmen was put in Update's hands to keep running. In 1990, the era of acquisitions begin. Now that Update has rooms to put things in, the server rooms, we begin accruing hardware. When talking to Update members, current and previous, there is often talk about moving heavy computers through tight spaces and in cars that is too small. To the left, you can see a bump stop. It's the black thing pointed to by a red arrow. That limits the maximum travel of a leaf spring on a truck. And you know that you have about the right amount of computers loaded when the bump stop is flush against the wheel axle. Also, there is always some amount of bloodshed. In one instance, a member remember doing a run to a scrapyard with 2.5 tons worth of tape drives and line printers in a truck rated for 1.3 tons. Now, I'm not saying that Update members are all irresponsible drivers, but maybe a little bit in our student days. Around this time, we get two PDP 1170 computers. The first is through a club called UFH, who in turn got it from Telia. This became our Magica, which is pictured here. The other came from Lysator, another university club, who in turn got it from a high school in Stockholm and had served students from 4 different schools. It was named Tekla, and on a normal day it served 40 to 60 students. It's a bit special because it had a hardware and software hack in order to run 1 megabyte memory boards from a VAX 11750. Normally, 256 kilobyte was max. This machine became our Knase. In 1991, when Sweden applies for membership in EU, the laws are sent out on half-inch tape to a company in Sweden for translation to Swedish. That company had no way of reading the tapes, so they contacted SIX, or Swedish Institute for Computer Science, but they had just thrown out their tape drives. Luckily, Update and Ida was there to help and read the tapes. Most likely, Carmen is taken out of service at this time. In 1993, Krille, our VAX 8650, is donated to us by Ericsson. Krille runs BSD 4.3-Reno, and his brother was donated from Digital Equipment. Krille would serve for a long time as Update's main computer. Krille is also used by the Department of Archaeology on a daily basis to get internet connection. Update have been using 3 server rooms with cooling and raised floor. The big server room must now be evacuated and Ida is turned off to save power and rent. Ida remains in hibernation until we can turn her on again. Now, here we must hold up a minute and ponder the importance of Ida. Throughout my career as a developer in Uppsala, I have met countless people who talk fondly of Ida. Former and current colleagues, friends, fathers of friends, members of updates, and random people on the internet. The machine was there in the beginning of a successful master's program and has seen many, many students and researchers. Not only employees and students of Uppsala University, but the open culture allowed users, as we have seen, from all over the world. Here is the Swedish network map from 1983, made by a Stacken member from Stockholm. And Ida was very much connected early on. You can see Ida in the top left of this picture. And from this lovingly drawn picture, we can see the layout of the first computer room where Ida was installed, and where there was a spot where you could stand on a chair and peer into a window into the holiest of holy and see the machine itself. This story has been told to me independently by several users. Also, no less than 3 update members have changed their legal names to the username they had on Ida. When we later on had an exhibition which included Ida, these were 2 quotes from visitors written on their blogs. Quote, "Here I am, many years later, clumsily trying to hug my old friend Ida when it was part of a museum exhibition. Incidentally, this was the first time I saw the machine." End quote. Quote, "When I woke up today, I had no clue that I would again meet an old love that I had met the first time when I was 18 and haven't seen in many years. Ida is her name." Unquote. By the end of 1994, Update has grown to about 120 members. In 1995, there is almost not enough computers for all students, and Update get access to a room in the basement to set up a terminal room available to students. In return, the university may not reserve the room for classes, and Update may let non-student members use the room. Also, importantly, you are allowed food and beverage in the tea room, or tesalen, as we fondly know it today. The room is equipped with Apollo workstations. The main workhorse of Update is still Krille, the VAX 8650. Here we see BQT, our resident PDP-11 expert, and responsible for hunting down many of the computers we have by this time. The library of manuals and computer-related literature has grown, and there is a collection of tea to choose from to drink in the tea room. By the end of the year, we are 172 members. This is roughly what the tea room looks like today. In 1996, we get a lot of new hardware. Xerox Lisp machine, VAX 6000, Silicon Graphics Iris, Alpha LSI, Diab, and Tektronix hardware. And the server room is equipped with even more power outlets to allow more computers to run. Krille is taken out of service and replaced with three VAX 6400 machines named Seek, Arne and Micke. Seek runs Ultrix and they replace Krille. We have received many RA90 disk drives. Each drive holds about 1 GB of storage. Each cabinet holds 8 disks and I count 6 cabinets. At least 48 GB. This was later upgraded with RA72 drives. It's quite a bit of storage, which we generously allowed the computer department to share with us. And here is just another view of the server room. In 1997, Linux enters on a 486 running 2.0.30, and it even has a CD burner. The logotype is drawn and accepted as the club logo. In between 1998 and 2000, we get a lot more computers. An Amiga 2000, Spark Station 2, Spark Station 5, Sun ELC, Deck Station 5000, and an Electro Helios fridge. The civil engineering office of the university borrows computers from Update because theirs have been stolen. By now, Update has probably peaked. Member-wise, we are 182 members. On New Year's Eve 1999, all computers are turned off on order from the university headmaster in fear of the Millennium bug. Everything was fine. Seek, the VAX 6400, has been deteriorating and many services has been moved to over to other machines, among them Tempo, a PC. It has been suggested that we throw away Krille. It's now parked outside the handicap bathroom and blocking the dorm, but we cling to our VAX. Seke finally breaks down completely in July 2000 and Krille is resurrected to handle selected duties. In 2001, Update gets a Cray YMPEL98 under the condition that it's kept running and be available to researchers. It was named Riemann and originally owned by Lotus Cars in England and later purchased by the mathematics department and used by Dennis Hayhall's groups doing research in chaos theory and producing some nice images. CSDCOM, the bulletin board system, is renamed UPCOM and Update takes responsibility. Krille stops running Ultrix and starts running NetBSD and a little bit of VMS. Someone sends us a mail and praises us for still running Gopher, which we are still today. We begin a big purge of hardware. First out is Seek and spare parts, about 2.5 tons of machines. In 2002, we get our PDP-12. This is ELSA. ELSA was procured by the Department of Neurophysiology with the aid of NASA. It's not the most flattering piece of history, but NASA wanted to do experiments involving animals, and that was not permitted in the USA, but doable in Sweden at the time. ELSA has been restored and is in good condition. 2004. This is a period of Update's history that we prefer not to think about. First of all, I join Update. Second, the Department of IT determines that we draw too much power and are ordered to turn off most of our machines. If that is not old, we are forced to abandon several rooms used for storage and we do some serious cleaning. Here I have spent many, many hours sorting and sifting through hardware. Sometimes fun, sometimes depressing, but always with good friends. We've had to make some hard decisions, but we have been able to keep a good selection of computers, and maybe it wasn't necessary to keep 10 Sun Spark Station 5. In 2005, disaster strikes. This is our server room. Yeah, it's not quite what it looks like, but underneath the raised floor, there is a near horizontal pipe. It's the blue thing on the left. This pipe comes from a kitchen in the floor above, where they must drink a lot of coffee, because this pipe was backed up completely by old coffee sump. Eventually it broke, and even though we got help to clean it up, it was a dark time that smelled of coffee. In 2005, we finally get to arrange the Nordic University Computer Club conference, and after many years of trying to get it to Uppsala, we are thrilled. NUC is a gathering of members from several clubs in Sweden, Norway, Finland, and Estonia. There are lectures, singing, eating, and typical student behavior. Stacken, the big club from Stockholm, presents updates with a nice gift, a framed stack of core memory, which we still keep on the wall in the tea room. Note that the handshake is completely transparent and takes place at the same time as the memory transfer. In 2005, a PDP-10 emulator is set up called TINA, or TINA is not IDA, that is reachable from the internet for use by anyone that wants to. It's still running today on a Raspberry Pi. In 2006, we install Kakrafon, which is a way of queuing music for playback on the hi-fi system in Tesalen. It's implemented by queuing MP3 files to a special printer in CUPS, the Unix printing system. Some neat trickery allows a round-robin ordering of the playlist. This system is probably responsible for warping my perception of good music, as it has become somewhat of a sport among some members to cue the most eclectic and weird music you can find. Kakrafon is still around in spirit, but has been replaced with a Python program that handles many formats, OGG, SID, YouTube links, and more. In 2007, we are given 2 Sun Enterprise 10K from a bank. They were named Debit and Credit. We made one more well-specced machine with many processors. The name theme for Spark computers at update was Polish authors. It seemed fit to name this machine Warsaw. Unfortunately, we are told to evacuate more storage space in order to save money, and we give away WEC stations, Spark stations, DEC professionals, Apollos, 7 Apple IIs, Macintoshes, VT103 terminals, and ABC800 computers. In 2007, the old but trusty cooling system breaks down. It either shuts off completely or stays on, failing to recognize the frost forming on the inside of the windows. Actually, one way that we noticed something was wrong was a Dell server shutting down because the inlet air temperature was below 4 degrees Celsius. In July, we throw away 2 SA600 cabinets filled with hard drives, and it's 36 degrees in the server room. In 2008, we discover a Link 8. Actually, It's my wife that studies at the Department of Psychology that notices the machine standing in a hallway and thinks it's something Update might like to see. We are very surprised and track down the owner that ends up giving a lecture about the machine's history and show wonderful pictures from its installation and use. This is the same machine. Later, it will be a part of our museum exhibits. In 2008, we prepare Knase and bring him to a local lawn party called Birdie, where the kids look mostly like question marks. The machine breaks down in the middle of the party, and despite heroic efforts to repair it mid-party, Knase remains offline and is giving spare parts to Magica to keep at least one PDP 1170 running. We also get an alpha server GS60E named Speedy. Krille, the WAX 8650, is started on occasion to fix stuff broken in newer NetBSD releases. In 2009, Stacken needs to downsize, and we are tasked with saving some machines. We get our third PDP 1170 called Helena, the blue machine in the picture. Here we can also see one of two DEC System 2020, Venus. If you recall, IDA was initially a 2020, but it was quickly deemed too slow and the department wanted to upgrade to a 2060, which is a completely different machine. For various bureaucratic reasons, that is somewhat unclear, it was not possible to buy more computers to the university at the time. However, adding parts to an already existing machine was okay. So a phone call to Digital was made and an arrangement for a CPU upgrade was made. When the day came, the old machine was wheeled out and the new one was wheeled in and the upgrade was complete. In the same storage, there was another 2020 called Nadia, which remained at KTH. It was restored in 2010, but later it went over to the Living Computer Museum in Seattle. Here we can see the VR cube. This cube was installed in the room next to the equipment that we picked up. The cube itself had been dismantled, but we got to see the two SGI machines used to run Quake on the cube. And of course, more serious research. The SGI machines are now in the Technical Museum of Stockholm. Anyway, Helena, the 1170 with disk drives and tape drives, really, really weighed down the rented truck. But we make it home and we get to practice reversing skills. And here we can see Helena being revived. Eventually, our Magica, the longest running 1170, breaks down and it's easiest to replace her with Helena. Our cooling breaks down more or less for good and puts an end to running bigger machines in the summer and for longer periods of time. In 2012, in an effort to make Update more visible, we prepare an exhibition called 3 tons of mini computers. Here, all of Update really pulls together and creates an awesome exhibition at the University Museum. We exhibit IDA, Knase, Riemann, Crap 1, and many more computers. It takes much effort, but we plan it out, prepare the monitors with components, computer, and the larger exhibits. We even put in real server room floor. And for anyone contemplating doing this, do hire professional movers. Those guys are built like forklifts. We had to even dismantle parts of the elevator to fit the largest machines into the several hundred year old museum building. But it's a hit. The museum calls it their most visited temporary exhibit ever. A final picture. The old hardware really did fit well in with the permanent exhibits in the background. In 2013, we buy a sofa, which is great for viewing revision streams. Yes, this. Again. The cleanup takes ages, and we are evacuated from the server room for most of the year. But the club turns 30 years old, and we discuss having a big party. We hold an interview with old members, which have been the basis for parts of this presentation. We eventually manage to get new cooling, which promptly breaks down, but with the help of generous members, we can repair it and keep the old computers alive. This is also the time when the university seriously discusses moving the entire department to a new building, and concerns are raised with an update if we will be able to get space in the not yet built houses. Do you remember the party we discussed for the 30th birthday? Well, 2 to the power of 5 is also a good and round number. In 2015, we prepare another exhibition and get some media attention. This exhibit is slightly smaller, but equally popular. This time, some computers are turned on and guests can play games, much to the chagrin of the receptionist that has to listen to an Apple II beeping for several days straight. We give special tours to school classes that very much enjoy the experience. There is hope for coming generations. In 2017, Douglas Hofstadter and Donald Knuth visits Uppsala, and some Update alumni get to join them for dinner and are starstruck. Douglas holds a lecture and signs his book for our library. Between 2013 and 2021, the plans for building a new university house progress. And Update is asked how much space we need. We suggest about 150 square meters, which is what we use today. That will be too expensive, and we are asked to moderate our request, which we do, and are asked in increments to compromise more and more. In the end, we are offered 13 square meters shared with other student organizations. So here we are today. Next year, on the 1st of March, we have to be evacuated from the university. This is cause for concern. At the moment, we do not know where to go. But there is hope. Since this became known, we have worked hard to find new members, and our current members have shown immense generosity. We have also reached out to new and old sponsors with some success. Still, the future is not certain, and we need financial support. So what does the future hold? What does Update want to be? We want to be a space where we can preserve our collection, work with it, and make it available to the public. So, like a museum? No, not a museum. The vintage computer community wholeheartedly seem to agree that the vintage computer is best experienced while turned on. While some of our artifacts are rare, they are already represented at museums proper. We want to repair and run our machines. So, it's like a makerspace? No, not quite. There is one in Uppsala already, and the focus of Update is computers, Not wood, not fabric, nor metal. So, what should Update be? Update thrives when we have visitors. When we look out in the world and we see the likes of the Large-Scale Systems Museum, Oldenburg Computer Museum, Technicum 29, Rhode Island Computer Museum, and why not the Living Computers Museum and Labs, then we are inspired. We want to make Update's activities and collections available to our members and to the public. With regular opening hours, we can grow and become a place to meet for vintage computer nerds that contribute and can give back to the community. So, what does this mean in numbers? Well, we need about 150 square meters of floor space, plus heating, maybe cooling, and power. One square meter is about 100 euros per year, which means that we need a yearly income of at least 15,000 euros. We are about halfway there. So, how can I contribute, I hear you ask. You can become a member. A returning source of incomes means the most to us. There is no longer any requirements on affiliation with the university. Anyone can join. But you can also be a one-time donor, or you can buy a shirt. If you're a company, please consider becoming a sponsor. And this lecture could not have been done without the help of a lot of people, so thank you all. And also, thank you to our sponsors. The Helene Elisabeth Bunkelmann Markarts Fund, Triptech, and maybe you. Thank you very much, and I'll see you in the Q&A session.